Thank you very much for coming. Today's daf is daf Yud Beis, page 12 in Masechet Brachot. The Gemara is going to continue to discuss the theme of the abbreviated prayers of the Kohanim during their service, because when they're busy taking care of the Korban Tamid, they don't have time for a lengthy minyan. So that's what we saw yesterday. They had an abbreviated prayer, one blessing of Kriyat Shema before the Ten Commandments, and they would say Kriyat Shema, and they would have the one blessing of Kriyat Shema afterwards, and then just would say the Avodah part of the Shmona Esrei, and then Birkas Kohanim. So we're going to discuss that a little bit more today. We're going to talk about the special prayer that was recited by the shift of Kohanim that was leaving the Beis HaMikdash and the incoming shift. We're going to have a big discussion today about someone who's making a mistake. He starts the bracha with the wrong intention. He takes a cup, he thinks it's wine, it's really water. So he starts off saying, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, thinking to say, Borei Pri HaGafen, which wouldn't work for water. Then he realizes that it's water. So he ends off with Sha'akol Nia B'dvaro. So does that work? Do you need a whole bracha, or do you need the end of a bracha? That's going to be a discussion that's not resolved in the end of the Gemara. And finally, the Gemara is going to have a series of lessons, the importance of the blessings of Kriyat Shema. He'll talk about how to bow to Hashem during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. We say Amelech HaKadosh, Amelech HaMishpat, and the importance of praying for the sake of others. A lesson that if someone does a sin and then is embarrassed, he gets forgiven. And that finally, we have the next Mishnah, which talks about the importance of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, mentioning leaving Egypt at night. Okay, so let's start. Daf Yud Beis, page 12a, I would assume, we're at the two dots here in Maseches Brachos. Last thing we had seen, we ran through this yesterday, but we got to these two dots where the Gemara had said that according to Reish Lakish, the one blessing that the Kohanim recite during their abbreviated service is Yotzer Or. According to the other view, the one blessing that they recite is Ava Rabba. And Reish Lakish had said that brachos ein ma'akvo zu et zu, the blessings do not impede each other. We understood that to mean that you can say one blessing without having to say the other at all. And then we said maybe it doesn't mean that. Maybe it means you can say one blessing and then later say the other blessing. And that is the halacha. The halacha is you can say one blessing and later say the other. You can even say it totally out of order. You could say emes v'yatziv before Shema, then Shema, then Ava Rabba, and then Yotzer Or, and you'd also fulfill your obligation. B'di'evan. All right, two dots. Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Talking about the service of the Kohanim, the Koran Aseres HaDibros, after they would say that one blessing, which is either Ava Rabba or Yotzer Or, they would read the Ten Commandments. So they would make the declaration of the Ten Commandments. Then they would read the three paragraphs, Shema, then paragraph of Ahayim Shamoa, and finally the paragraph of Ayomer. And then they would say the blessing after Shema, Emes V'yatziv, then Avoda, the prayer of Ritzei, God accept our service, and finally Birchas Kohanim, the blessing of the Kohanim. Sim Shalom and Birchas Kohanim. So this is the service of Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. One blessing before Shema, Ten Commandments, the three paragraphs of Shema, Emes V'yatziv, Avoda, and Birkas Kohanim. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So now a story. If the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash say the Aseres HaDibros, maybe we should also say the Aseres HaDibros. Why not? So said Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Af Bigvulin Bikshu Likros King. Also outside of the Beis HaMikdash, in the boundaries and the whole territory of Israel and Bavel, the Galil, everywhere. So we'll also do it. We'll read the Aseret HaDibrot. We'll read the Ten Commandments right next to the Shema. We won't just say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We'll also say Anokei Hashem Elokecha Liyulach Elimelechim Tonight. Lo Sis Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. All the Ten Commandments. They stopped it. Why'd they stop it? Ela Shekvar Bitlum, but rather they've already stopped it. Mipnei Tar Omes Aminim, because of the troublemaking, the complaints of the heretics. The heretics, whether they be Sadducees or Christians, the original version here was not Minim, was Notzrim. The early Christians, what do they say? They say, Ten Commandments is from God. But everything else, you know, human beings made it up. Moshe Rabbeinu, Ezra HaSofer, they don't accept it, it's all biblical. So if we're going to treat some section of Torah differently than any other section, we read it out, we declare it, so that makes it more special than everything else. This is biblical, nothing else is. This is from God, nothing else is. So to get rid of that type of misbehavior, we stopped the reading, the public reading of the Aseres Hadibros every day as part of the service. Tanya and Amiyachi, we're also learning a brisa this way. We're taught in a brisa this way. Rabbi Nassan says, "Bigvulin, Bikshu Likros came." They tried to read this way also in the Gvulin, in all the boundaries and all, you know, all the areas outside of the land, outside of Jerusalem. But they've already stopped this because of the troublemaking of the heretics. Rabbi Bar Chana also thought to establish the Aseres Hadibros as part of the service in Surah. Amalei Rav Chizda told him too. Kfar bitlu mipnei taromas haminim. They've already stopped this because of the troublemaking of the heretics. Ameimar sarvul mikvinu b'naharda. Ameimar wanted to, in Naharda, say we should be like the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash. Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash used to read the Ten Commandments. We should read the Ten Commandments. And again, Amalei Rav Ashi told Ameimar as well, they've already stopped this because of the complaint of the heretics. They've stopped it because of the trouble that the heretics make. We don't want to give the impression that the Ten Commandments was the word of God and everything else is not. So we have to stop it.
This is the abbreviation of the Ten Commandments?
No, they would say all Ten Commandments. They would read these verses. This stuff is really telling us how we ended up with Shema being these three paragraphs. Why isn't it something else? Three paragraphs plus the beginning of Parsha, you know, the Shishi of Parshas Yisro. Why isn't it going to be three paragraphs plus the curses / blessings of Bilam? Why is this what we have in Shema? So in Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't just this. It was the Ten Commandments in this. But outside Beis HaMikdash, many people tried to do that. And many others stopped them. They said, no, if we do that, it's going to create a problem of taromas aminim, where the heretics are going to think that the Ten Commandments are somehow more special. They are the words of God. Everything else is not. Everything else is made up by people. So we don't want to do that. So therefore, we're not going to say it. The Rambam, in his Tshuvot, has a responsa where he strongly criticizes the practice of standing up in shul for the reading of the Ten Commandments based on this Gemara. He says, the Gemara says there are lots of rabbis that wanted to read the Ten Commandments as part of the Shema, and other rabbis told them you can't because it gives the wrong message to the heretics. They'll abuse that behavior. So if you stand up for the Ten Commandments, that shows that it's more special than everything else, then the heretics will say the Ten Commandments are the word of God. Everything else is made up. Everything else is people. So you shouldn't do it. So the Rambam was against standing up for the Ten Commandments. But the Ashkenazim did not accept this idea of the Rambam, and they do stand up for the Ten Commandments. What about in Persia? Did you stand up for the Ten Commandments?
You know what? I don't remember.
You don't remember? In Morocco, did they stand for the Ten Commandments? No. So you followed the Rambam.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah, it says if you're standing up for the Ten Commandments, we should stick to everything.
Oh, okay, good. It's like the Rambam.
Otherwise, we're making the Ten Commandments.
Different.
More important.
Right, that's this Gemara. Okay, very good. So the Sephardim do not stand for the Ten Commandments. The Ashkenazim do. You know, also in a lot of Ashkenazi shuls, they have a plaque on the Aron Kodesh with the Ten Commandments. There were people who were against that also. They said, no, if you put up a plaque with the Ten Commandments on the Aron Kodesh, it's implying that it's more special than everything else. And again, the Ashkenazim feel not. They say, no, it's a... But the Gemara said, But beyond what it said, we don't have to extend it.
They have them in Sephardic.
They have it in Sephardic shuls.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes I see the arayot here and there.
They have the lions. Yes.
And this is it's bothering me.
Right. It looks like a form of some sort. So the idea of pictures not being allowed in shul would be those pictures that distract a person. But if it doesn't get distracted, it's not a problem. If you go to Poland, you see the old shuls of the Chos of Lublin, and they had paintings all over the shul. They had paintings of lions, all sorts of things. All right, we're at the two dots. Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Talking about the abbreviated prayer of the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. They don't have much time. They're praying early in the morning as part of the Karban Tzamid. So they have basically just two of the blessings of the 18, Ritzei and Birkas Kohanim. U'b'Shabbos, on Shabbos, Mosifin Bracha Achas L'Mishmer HaYotzei. They add another blessing for the outgoing shift of Kohanim. Because every week there's a different shift of Kohanim doing the service, and on Shabbos they switch over. My bracha achas, what is the text of this one blessing? Reb Chelbo explained, Mishmar Yotze, the outgoing shift, Omer leMishmar Nichnas, would tell the incoming shift. He who has placed his name, made his name reside in this house, Hu Yashkin Beinechem Ava V'Achva, he should place between you love and brotherhood, Shalom V'Reyus, peace and friendship. So I saw that the Hasidim asked, we're going to see in today's daf that for something to be a bracha, there's an argument whether it needs the name of Hashem or it needs the word Melech HaOlam for it to be a bracha. Here there's neither. There's no name of Hashem, just Misha Shikin Shmo Bavai Sazeh. And there's no Melech HaOlam. So why does the Gemara call this a bracha? Bracha Achas, another blessing. So the Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe said, when Jews get along with each other, that is the name of Hashem. And that is the feeling of Melech HaOlam.
Shalom.
Exactly. Shalom is the name of Hashem. And you're bringing together all the letters of Hashem's name when the Jews get along. As we say in, right? We say, the Pasuk says, Vayehi b'Yishurun Melech. In the Jewish people, there was the king. There was Hashem. When? V'Saseif Rashi Am Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. When the tribes of Israel are all together, then you have the king, then you have the name of Hashem. We should always be getting along with other Jews. That's what brings the name of Hashem into this world. I saw a brilliant explanation from the Meir Einei Chachamim, who was the Rebbe of Ostravtsa, of Meir Yechiel Alevi. He asked, why in the Beis HaMikdash are they praying that there should be peace? Always pray for peace. So he said, the Gemara is going to tell us later that the blessing of peace of the Kohanim, Yisa Hashem Panav Elechav Yasim Lecha Shalom, what's the meaning of that blessing? Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha. The angels say, Yisa Panim means you show favor. Why should the Jews have extra favor? So the Gemara says, Hashem says, how can I not show favor to the Jews? I told them they only need to be full and then thank me. Say, Birkat Hamazon, V'achalta V'savata. Once you're full, then Uverachta. And hey, Makpidim Al Atzmam Ad Kezayit Ad Kebeitza. They have a little bit, a little olive worth, a little egg worth. They say, okay, now we're already going to say a blessing. How could I not show them favor? So you see that when the Jews go beyond the letter of the law, then God goes beyond the letter of the law for them. And what's that verse? Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, V'yasim Lecha Shalom. And God gives them peace. So whenever you go beyond the letter of the law, then God gives you peace. So in the Beis HaMikdash, there are no rabbinic laws. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, we only have the law of the Torah. So in the Beis HaMikdash, everybody was just doing the law, not beyond the letter of the law. So there was a danger of no peace. So that's why they would pray that Hashem should give us all peace. We should all have peace. We should get along with each other.
That's the time Moshiach comes.
Hopefully, very soon. Maybe today even. Bezrat Hashem. Okay, going to the Mishnah. Vakum Shamu Laharich. Wherever the sages have instituted a blessing, and it's a lengthy blessing, a person's not allowed to make it a short blessing. And when the sages instituted a short blessing, a person's not allowed to make it a lengthy blessing. Sheets, of course, it's obvious, this is not a question. If a person is holding in his hand a cup of wine, and when he recites the blessing, he's thinking it's beer. So he starts saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech Olam, blessed you God, our Master, King of the World, thinking he's going to end off with the word, Shakol Nia B'dvaro, that made everything. That's the blessing for beer. Upasach, he started, umivarech, and he's reciting the blessing, adaitu to shechra, thinking that it's beer, and he's going to say shahakol. Then after he said melech ha'olam, he realizes, hey, it's not beer, I have wine. So then v'sim v'dachamra. Now he flipped, and he concluded the blessing correctly, borei pri agafen. So instead of saying, baruch atah Hashem, okay, melech ha'olam, shakni v'dvaro, which is what he thought to say, he was thinking shahakol, shahakol, shahakol when he says baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam, and then he said borei pri agafen. So if that's the case, yatsa. He's certainly yotze. Why? Dinami imamar shakol niyam bedvaro. Because even if he would have ended off saying shakol niyam bedvaro, yatsa, that's also yotze. That's not, as we're going to learn in the Mishnah later, al kulam imamar shakol niyam bedvaro yatsa. For every food item, if you say shahakol, you're yotze.
Yeah.
Ellis, what's our question about mistakes and blessings? Heichad the kanaket kasa the shichu biyade. If he's holding a cup of beer in his hand, v'kasavar the chamrahu, and he thinks that it's not beer, he thinks it's wine. So what's the blessing on wine? Borei pri agafen. What's the blessing on beer? Shakol niyam bedvaro. If a person says borei pri agafen on beer, is he yotze? Does he fulfill his obligation? Certainly not. Pasach, he began to barich, reciting a blessing, adaita dechamra, thinking that he's reciting a blessing on wine. The siyum, and he ended off, oh, no, it's not wine, this is beer. So at the end, after melech olam, he said, shahakol niyam bedvaro. So now, my, what's the law? Baser ikar azlina, baser ikar bracha azlinan, or baser chasima azlinan. Do we follow the end? As long as the end was good, that's okay. But we say we don't need just the end. We need the beginning and the end. So since the beginning here, the baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech ha'olam, in his head, what was flashing with the light, saying, borei pri agafen, borei pri agafen, borei pri agafen, that's not a good beginning for the shakol niyam bedvaro. And therefore, he doesn't fulfill his obligation. He has to start again from scratch. That's the question. When the beginning was off on the wrong track, but the end was on the right track, does he have to go back and start again from scratch? And we say the only thing that matters is the end. Hashma, we're not going to resolve this question.
How about if you had a few l'chaim prior to
maybe
that?
That's why he's making these mistakes.
You're going to say he's making the mistakes.
That's why he's making the mistakes. Good.
So we have no Rahmanis here, Rabbi. Say, okay, it's an honest mistake. Yeah.
That's okay.
There you go, you know?
Yeah. Tashma, come and hear a proof. So we're going to try to bring a proof to this question from the issue of Birchot Kriyachma, the blessings of Kriyachma. We look at a braisa. Shachris Pasach Biyotzer Or. Let's say it's the morning, and he begins saying the thing the right way. He says Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, thinking he's going to say Yotzer Or, and then he gets confused. He's famished, and he says V'siyim Imariv Haravim. After he said Melech Olam, he said the blessing of Mariv Hashem B'dvaro Mariv Haravim. Right, the whole thing. Then in his word, he makes it dark. So lo yotze, he's not yotze. He's not yotze. It's the morning. The morning should be the bracha of yotze or. Pasuk b'mariv aravim. Let's see. He began with mariv aravim. The siyum b'yotze or. And he started in the morning with mariv aravim. But then he flipped. Right? He started saying baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, thinking in his mind mariv aravim. And then he says, oh, it's like a light outside. So he said yotze or vore choshech. So he said the right blessing. Yatzi fulfills his obligation. What does it sound like? It sounds like what matters is the end. If you ended right, you're okay, even though you started on the wrong track. Let's say Arvis at night, Pasach b'mariv aravim, when he was saying Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, he was starting to say mariv aravim. He was going to say Asher b'dvaro mariv aravim. Then he switched to saying b'yotzer or. He ended up saying yotzer or. Well, Yatzi, he doesn't fulfill his obligation. Pasach, but if he began at night with yotzer or, thinking to say Yotze Or, but the Siyem b'Mariv Haravim, but he ended off saying it the right way with Mariv Haravim. Yotze, he fulfills his obligation. Klolo shel davar, what's the rule? Hakol holich achar achasum. Everything follows the way he closes. So you see, if we only look at the closing. So if we only look at the closing in regards to the blessings of Kriyat Shema, we should say the same thing in regards to a blessing on food. So if he has a cup of beer and he's thinking it's wine, he's saying Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam with the words in his mind, Borei pri agafen, Borei pri agafen, and then he switches and says Shakol niyam bedvaro. Since the closing was good, it should be good. Says the Gemara, maybe not. Shani Yasam, there it's different, because at the end of the blessing of Yotzer Or, again he makes another Baruch Dukamar, Baruch Yotzer Ma'oros. He says Baruch Yotzer Ma'oros. So maybe that's okay. Maybe a blessing needs Baruch. So if the Baruch is on the wrong track, and then he ends off with the right track, that's not good. But if it's a long blessing, it has a Baruch at the beginning and the Baruch at the end. So since the Baruch at the end was on the right track, that's already the right blessing, because the blessing had a Baruch. So the Gemara says, well, honey, chal Rav, that's okay, according to Rav Damo, who says, kol bracha shem baruch karas Hashem in a bracha. Shapir, that for something to be a blessing, it has to have God's name. So you have Baruch Atah Hashem, Yotzer Ma'oros, you have God's name with Yotzer Ma'oros. El Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan Damo, who says, kol bracha shem ba'malchus in a bracha, that for a blessing to be a blessing, it doesn't just need God's name, it also needs the invocation of God being king. So now, if you're going to say that all that matters is the closing, and the closing was good, because it was Baruch Atah Hashem, Yotzer Ma'oros, but it's not Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. It's just Baruch Atah Hashem. You don't have Melech. You don't have God's kingship being invoked about the right thing. Because when we were thinking God's kingship, you were thinking it was the wrong thing. You were thinking Ma'ariv Aravim. Ella, so rather, what's the answer? Hey, Vandam Rav Bar Ula, since Rav Bar Ula taught us the other day, on Sunday, that during the blessings of Shema, the morning blessing also mentions night. We don't say Borei Yotzer Oru Vorei. No, God, we say Yotzer Oru Vorei Choshech, because we want to mention night during day. And at night we say Golol Or Mipnei Choshech, because we want to mention day during night. So since we're always, really, the blessing is always mentioning the other one, the day is mentioning the night, and the night is mentioning the day. So even though he started off thinking that he's going to say the blessing of night during the day, it's not the end of the world, because even the blessing of day has a little bit of night in it. And even though he started off thinking he's going to say the blessing of night, sorry, the blessing of day during the night, it's also not the end of the world. Because the blessing of night is supposed to have a little bit of day.
Yeah.
So since that's the way it's supposed to be, it's not so bad. So therefore, Kikama Bracho Malchus, when he said initially, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, he said Baruch. And he said kingship, Meikar, from the very beginning, even though he was thinking about the wrong blessing, Atar Vayukai, he's referring to day and to night, and that's the way it works. But when you have the blessing of Borei Pri Hagafen, when you're supposed to be saying Shahakol, Borei Pri Hagafen has nothing to do with Shahakol. Yeah. So then, would it work? Maybe. Maybe Tashma, maybe we can bring a proof to this question. Be safe from the end of that Braisa. The Braisa says, Klalo Shel Davar, the rule of the matter, Hakol Olech Achar Achasum, everything follows the closing. Since the closing was right, everything's okay. Klalo Shel Davar La Suyemai, what's the rule of the matter to include? Right, if you're going to say the rule of the matter, you're saying you're including things other than what we're talking about. We're talking about Birchas Kriyat Shema. So what else is being included? Must be Lasu Yehuda Amaran, to include what we're saying. We're including also when he started off saying Borei Pri Hagafen on behalf of that which really needs a Shahakol Nia Bidvaro. Says the Gemara, lo, maybe not. Maybe it's not to include Borei Pri Hagafen to work for a Shahakol Nia Bidvaro. Lasu Yeh, it's to include a different situation. Nama Vitamri. He's making a mistake between bread and dates. He thinks that what he has is bread, and really what he has is dates. What's the case? If it was that he ate bread, he thought he had eaten dates. He figured, I'm going to say the blessing for after dates, Allah eats, Al Priya eats, one of the main shalosh blessings. Then he realizes, you know, I really ate bread. So he says the whole Birkat HaMazon, the benching. Hanubayan, that is our question. So if that is okay, because we all follow the end, so then when he starts off with Borei Pri Hagafen, he ends off with Shahakol, it also should be okay. What's the case? Really what he ate was dates. Vekasavar Nama, when he begins to say the Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, he's thinking bread. He started off saying the blessing, thinking he was going to say the blessing of bread. Then after he got to the Melech Olam, he realizes, hey, I ate dates. Now he switched to Allah Eitz, Opiya Eitz, to the blessing of dates. Yatzah, he fulfills his obligation. Why? Because even if he wouldn't have switched, even if we would continue with benching, he would have been Yotze. Because dates also fill you up. Dates fill a person up. Dates can be like a bread. They're masbia. They say to a person. So if you would have continued with the blessing of bread, it would have worked. But we don't have a proof that if he starts with something that wouldn't work, that if he starts with the brach of me'in shalosh on behalf of bread, and then he switches to the bread, to the birkas hamazon, that works. Bottom line is, we don't have any answer to this question. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, if you started off on your beer saying a blessing, thinking you were going to say Borei Pri Hagafen, and then you switched to say Shahakol Nia Bidvaro, since we don't have a resolution to the question, we have a rule, Safik Brachos Lahakel, we're not sure about Brachos, we're lenient, you don't need to repeat another blessing. The way he puts it is Yesh Omrim. Some say Shein Tzarech Levarach. You don't have to say the blessing over again.
You don't need, or you have to start from scratch.
You don't need, because we don't have a proof that you need a restart. And when we're unsure about a blessing, we don't say it again.
Anyhow, if you take in every bracha, okay, and cut them in half.
Mm-hmm.
The first part is always the same. Baruch Atah, I don't know.
Apparently not. It depends what you're thinking.
What you think.
Maybe the blessing the whole way has to be a certain thought.
You're thanking God and this and that. That okay. Then the second half would be created dates or.
But maybe that's the question. Maybe that's the question. Maybe
but
a blessing.
The main part of it is
maybe not. Maybe the whole blessing is a separate request. I ask of God to let me have the bread, or I ask of God to let me have, because everything belongs to him, and especially the bread. That's the question here. What's going on here?
Because without the end, it's a matzias and levatana.
Also true, right? Now we're at the two dots. A new topic. We're going to have a series of lessons from this sage, Rabba, son of Chinuna Sava, in the name of Rav. Amar Rabba, bar Chinuna Sava, mishmeinu Rav. Kol shalom ha'amis v'yatsiv shachris, v'amis v'emuna arvis, so if a person doesn't say the themes of Emes V'Yatziv, namely thanking God for taking us out of Egypt in the morning, and the themes of Emes V'Emunah, expressing faith in God that he will help us in the future at night, he doesn't fulfill his obligation actually of Kriyat Shema. Shenamar, as it says, La'agibah Boker Chazdecha, to declare in the morning of your kindnesses that you did for us in the past, V'Emunascha B'Leilos, and during the night we have to express faith of all the good that you will do for us in the future. Amar Rabbi Baruch Hinnon Sava, another lesson from Rabbi Baruch Hinnon Sava, Mishmei the Rav, name of Rav. Hamispal, when someone is praying the Shmona Esrei, Kishu Korea, when he kneels down, you have to kneel down twice. You have to kneel down in the first blessing, and you kneel down in the Modin blessing. When kneeling, Korea Bebaruch, when you say the word Baruch, that's when you bend your knees down. Kishu Zokiv, when you get back up, Zokiv Peshem, when you say the name of Hashem, then you pull yourself up to stand up straight. I saw that Rav Moshe Sternbruch Shlita explains, why does the name of Hashem make you stand up straight?
Yep.
To remind us that everything about Hashem, all of the Torah and mitzvot, is the truth and that which is straight. It's the MS and Yasha. Amar Shmuel said, my time with the Rav, what's the reasoning of Rav? How does he know this? What's the verse that you stand up by the name of God? Because it says, Hashem Zokiv Kfufim. The verse says, Hashem, God is the one who makes the bent over straight. So when you say God's name, you're up. Basically, I'll challenge you. How can you say that when you say God's name, you're up? We have another verse. The verse says, Mipnei Shmi, for the sake of my name, Nichasu, he went down. So for God's name, you should be going down. So Gemara says, no. Miksev doesn't say, Bishmi, in my name he went down. It says, Mipnei Shmi, because of my name. Mipnei sounds like before my name. It has to be Mipnei Shmi Ksiv. It says Mipnei Shmi, and it means it has to be before my name. That's where you go down. So when you say Baruch, you go down. When you say Hashem, you go right up. Amar Le Shmuel, Lechia Barav. Shmuel said to Chia, the son of Rav, Bar Urian, the son of wisdom, the son of Torah. Tav Emelech Milsam Al Yisad, Amar Avuch. Let me tell you some of these amazing things that your father said. This is what your father said. Kishu Korea, when he kneels down. Korea Baruch, when he says Baruch, that's when he goes down. Kishu Zokef, when he's going up, Zokef Hashem, he's going up when he says Hashem's name. And now Rav Sheshes, Ki Kara, when he would go down, Kara Kechizra, he would go down like a stick, you know, let's go right down. And Ki Kazakef, when he'd get back up, Zakef Kechivya, he'd go up like a snake, he'd go up slowly. So in other words, he would kneel like this, and then up slow, down fast. The idea to show that we want to be down. We want to humble ourselves. If we go down fast and up fast, it's like, we don't want to do this. But if we go down fast, we're happy to be down. And then going up, it's slow. We want to be in this state of being down. Say God's name, we go back up.
What's the difference between that and Modim and Achmurna?
Same.
So we do it three times.
Yeah, we do it four times. We do it four times. We do it at the beginning of Baruch. We do it at Magen Avraham. We do it at the beginning of Modim and at the end of Modim.
Without the knee.
Is it? I have to look up.
Is that how we're supposed to bow?
Yes, we're supposed to bow down quickly and up slowly.
You have to pay us, Baruch. I've never been proud of my name.
And we feel blessed to have you here. Thank God.
No, I tell you, Rabbi, I, honest to God, you know, since I've been a kid, I've had problem with my name. Okay,
the Muslim, now you're happy.
The Muslim, they couldn't get a problem. Then I came here, they couldn't pronounce my name. You know, they can't pronounce Baruch. They can't. And anybody pronounces my name right correctly, I know right away it's a Jew. This is our. But to, you know, this is good.
It's your Masechta.
Yeah. The Kabbalah says that really, and the Muslims, they copied us, but we are not doing it ourselves. That you really have to put your forehead on the floor.
No, not in Tavit.
In Modim, definitely. Rabbi.
In Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur.
I know, but they're doing it five times a day, Rabbi. They learn it from us.
Let them do it.
Okay, this forehead and the energy you get from the earth, you know.
Only on Yom Kippur. In the Beis HaMikdash every day. Yeah.
I think it's Modim, every Modim should be done, no? No?
I'm a Rabbi Bar Chilna Sava, Mishmei the Rav. Rabbi Bar Chilna Sava, send name of Rav. Another lesson from him. The whole year, the blessing text is Hakel HaKadosh, God who's holy. And you say, Melech, King, Oivsako Mishpat, who loves justice and charity. Except for the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Then Mispala, Melech HaKadosh, and he says, the holy King. And he says, Melech HaMishpat. Even if he just said Akela Kadosh, and God, the Lord of hosts, was elevated in justice. Akela Kadosh, and the holy God, Nikdash Bitztaka, was made holy with charity.
Mark Paul says you repeat it if you say Akela.
Correct.
You don't say Akela.
Ah, okay, good. That's Machlokas here. That's the argument. See the end of the Gemara in a second. So there's an argument again. According to Rabbi Barchina Sava, you say Amelach HaKadosh. According to Belazar, you say no, Hakel HaKadosh, even during the 10 days, because Hakel HaKadosh also has to do with justice. When is God being elevated in justice? Those are the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. The Karman, that verse says Hakel HaKadosh. And now we have Fred's point. My Havi Allah. What's the conclusion? What's the halacha? I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, you say Hakel HaKadosh and Melech Oiv Sakol Mishpat even during the 10 days. Rabba, my Rabba said, you say Melech HaKadosh and Melech HaMishpat. Ve'hilchasake Rabba. Halacha is like Rabba, that during the 10 days you have to say HaMelech HaKadosh. I'm a Rabba Kinasava. Another lesson for Rabba Kinasava. Mishmed Rabba, the name of Rab. Kol Shev Shalom Levakish Rachman Mulchaveir Reinu Mevakish Nikrachote. Anyone who could have prayed and asked for mercy for his friend and he doesn't, is called sinner. Shanem, as it says, Gamanochi Chalili Mechatoli. Also, me, for heaven forbidden for me from sinning. Mechatol Hashem, from sinning to God. Mechatol is Padel Batchem, from not praying for your sake. This is what Shmuel says, even after the whole problem that the people said to Shmuel, we want a king. Shmuel gets offended. Shmuel says, I'm going to ask God for rain. There's going to be rain now. It's going to ruin all your crops. And the rain comes and ruins their crops. They say, please, Shmuel, ask God to stop the rain. Shmuel says, you think I'm going to sin and not ask God? Of course I'm going to ask God. Even though you offended me, I'm going to ask God. I'm going to pray for you. Amar Rava, Rava said him, Tamot Chachamu, if you see a Torah scholar who needs prayers, he's sick, you need to make yourself have pain in your prayer for his sake. You have to pray so much till it pains you for him. That's how much you have to care for the Torah scholar. Tzorach Sheyech La'atzmo Olav, you have to pain yourself for him. My time, or why? Elim Mishim Nechsev, I'm going to say it's from the verse that says, Ve'ein chole mikem olai, v'gola et ozni, right, that the king was complaining. None of you are making yourself sick for my sake. Shaul was complaining about David HaMelech. He's saying, why aren't you people making yourself sick to pray for me? You should have been paining yourself to pray for me, because the king was a Talmud Chacham. But Talmud Melech Shani, maybe he's different. He's not just a Talmud Chacham, he's a king. But rather, this is the source. The verse says, "Va'ani b'chalosam levushi sak inisi vatzom nafshi." David says about his enemies, Doeg and Achitofel. They were Torah scholars. He says, when they were sick, I would wear sackcloth. I would inisi vatzom nafshi. I would afflict my soul with a fast. I would pain myself for them. So if I would pain myself for them, you see that for a Torah scholar, you have to pray so vociferously that you're literally paining yourself for his sake. And now another lesson from Rabbi Bar Chinna Sava. in the name of Rav. Hello, Sadvaravero Misbayishbo. Anyone who does a sin and he's embarrassed, all of his sins are forgiven. Why should embarrassment make all the sins forgiven? So some commentators explain that because of embarrassment, it's as if he's not alive. You know, if you humiliate someone in public, it's as if you killed him. So when someone's embarrassed by his sin, it's as if he died. The death atones for all of his sins. Shenamar, as we find in Yechezkel, Amad Tiskri Uvosht, so that you'll remember and be embarrassed. Yilach Od Pischon Pemfnikli Masich B'Chapilach L'Chol Asher Asis Nom Hashem Elokim. And then I'm going to atone for you B'Chapilach. I'm going to atone for you for all that you did, says God. So maybe not. Maybe there it's the nation. Don't Matzibur Shamin. It's different if the whole nation is embarrassed. El Meyachal. This is the source that we know that embarrassment wipes away all the sins. That when Shaul was being attacked by the Plishtim at the end of his life, he's very scared. He goes to the woman of Ov and she conjures up the soul of Shmuel. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul. Shmuel tells Shaul, Lamer gaztani la lososi. Why'd you upset me to bring me up? Vayomer Shaul, and Shaul said, Sali Mo'od, I'm very upset. The Plishtim nilchamim bi, the Plishtim are fighting against me. Vashem sar me alai, and God has left me. Velo anani od, and God has not answered me. Gam biyad neviim, he hasn't answered me with the prophets. I asked them, they didn't give an answer. Gam b'chalomos, in the dreams. And that's why I called you, Lodi, and Ima said to tell me what I should do. Now, one second. If you really want an answer from God, the normal thing to do is to go to the Kohen Gadol and ask him, because the Kohen Gadol has on his breastplate the 12 stones of different colors with letters on them. And in between the folds of the garment, the breastplate, there's pieces of parchments with names of Hashem. And the Urim Betumim caused the stones to light up with an answer. You should have asked the Urim Betumim. Urim v'Tumim lo kamer. Shaul didn't say, I asked Urim v'Tumim. Why? He was embarrassed. Because he killed all the Kohanim. Mishum the Katlin, and Nov, you're a Kohanim. He had killed out the whole city of Nov, the city of the Kohanim. So what's he going to go ask Urim v'Tumim? Uminai dachil le min Shemaya. How do we know that he was forgiven, that he was embarrassed? Shenemar kashmuel tell Shaul, macharato vanechimi. You're going to die, and tomorrow you and your sons are with me. They're going to be in my portion in Gan Eden. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, even Chitzasi, they'll be with me in my section. Rabbanan said, here's the source that we know that Shaul was forgiven because he was embarrassed by what he did about Nov, that he killed the city of Nov. The verse says that after there was 3 years of famine, Shaul, in the reign of David HaMelech, he tried to figure out why it was happening. He goes to the Urim V'Tumim. And the answer was that the reason why this was happening was because of Shaul, that Shaul had killed out Nov Yerakonim. When Shaul killed Nov Yerakonim, it had caused the Giv'onim, this non-Jewish nation that used to serve the priests, to all die out. And the Giv'onim were upset. So the Giv'onim come and they say, we want revenge. We want to take 7 members of Shaul's family and hang them up. Hang them to the sun. They should all hang. V'okanum la'ashem v'givat Shaul. We're going to have them impaled for God's sake in Givat Shaul. And then you have the words, Shaul, Bechir Hashem, the chosen of God. Chosen of God. Who said it? Yatza Baskol Varma Bechir Hashem. A voice came out of heaven and said, Shaul, he's the chosen of God. So you see that Shaul was forgiven, that God is declaring, you say the name of my servant Shaul, he's my chosen one. You see, Shaul was forgiven. Why was he forgiven? Because he was embarrassed. How do you know he was embarrassed? He was ashamed to ask the Kohen what's going to be, because he knows he's the one who killed all the Kohanim. Amar Rabbavo Bar Zutrasi, going back to Shema. Rabbavo, the son of Zutrasi, said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Zvida, Bikshu Likboa Parshas Balak B'Kriyat Shema. When they were setting up Kriyat Shema to say Shema Vayom Shmo and Vayomer, they said, why should we take a paragraph from Shlach? Let's take Parshas Balak. Because after all, the third paragraph is only said because it mentions leaving Egypt. Why didn't they take that? Mishum Torah Tzibra, because it's too long. And it's going to make people upset if the davening is too long. It's a tircha for the community. My time, why did they want to put Parshas Balak into Shema? Even Mishum Dechsibba, if you're going to say, because the verse says, in Parshas Balak, Kel Motzim Mitzrayim, God takes them out of Egypt. Name of Parshas Ribbis, we have other sections, Ribbis, the prohibition of charging interest, Parshas Mishkalos, the law to have honest weights and measures, also the Chsib Ben Yitzias Messiah, but also says leaving Egypt. Because there's a verse in Parshas Balak which is very similar to the theme of Shema. It says, Kara Shachav Kari, he's kneeled down, he's laid down like a lion, Uchalavimi Kimenu, and like a young lion, who will raise him up? So that sounds like B'shach B'cho V'kumecha. It says Shachav, and it says Yikimenu. The Lema Ipsuk of Asulos. The Gemara says just in this sentence. Don't say anything else. Here we have a tradition Kol parsha de paskan Moshe paskinan. If the paragraph has been divided by Moshe, we can divide it. The lo paska Moshe Rabbeinu lo paskinan. If Moshe didn't divide it, we're not supposed to divide it. Parsha Tzitzis v'pnei makvuah. So why did they end up choosing the paragraph from Parsha Shlach, which teaches about Tzitzis? There are five elements here. Mitzvah Tzitzis. The mitzvah of Tzitzis is a very important mitzvah. It's equal to all the other 613. Yetzias Mitzrayim mentions leaving Egypt. It's all mitzvos. It tells us that when we look at the Tzitzis, we're reminded to not do any other Averos. And Das Minim, it tells us to avoid heresy. And finally, Hira Beira, to avoid thoughts of illicit relations. And that is part of also Hira Avodah Zara, to avoid thoughts of idol worship. Because idol worship is like illicit relations. We're being illicit to God. Instead of being loyal to God, we're out with these other idols. Bishmani, Klas, Mepharshan. Okay, the first three are all there. Old mitzvos, talking about the mitzvos. The chassid says, "Reisamos," so you'll see the tzitzis. Uschatim is coming to Hashem, and remember the mitzvos Hashem. Tzitzis, the chassid asulem tzitzis. They'll make tzitzis. Yitzias Mitzrayim, the chassid. Yitzias Mitzrayim is mentioned. Asher Otzei Yitzias Chameretz Mitzrayim. Das minim yira veira yira vodazar mina. Where do we see in the section of tzitzis to avoid heresy and not to have idol worship? The tiny one in a brisa, it says v'lo sasu rachu levavchem v'achrei neichem asher atem zonim achreihem. So that's strange. If it's saying not to do a sin, it would be don't follow your eyes, which then make your heart follow. Here it says don't follow your heart, and then don't follow your eyes. So why heart first? Achrei levavchem, don't follow your heart is uminus, don't have heresy to deny God. V'chein omer, as it says, amar navel believo in Elokim. Navel said in his heart, there's no God. Then it's in his heart. Then don't follow your eyes. Don't have thoughts of, you know, illicit relations. As it says, Shimshon said to his father, "Osa kachli, take that one from me. Ki yisharbeina. She's what's straight in my eyes." Atim zonim zehira avodah zara. And atim zonim is the thoughts of avodah zara. But in Omer, as it says, "Vayiznu achrei ha-baalim," and they were zoned to the baalim. All right, let's start the next Mishnah. We know it all from the Haggadah Shel Pesach. The Mishnah says, "Maskir nitzias mitzrayim b'leilos." We say the third section of Shema during the night too, because even though we don't have tzitzis at night, it mentions leaving Egypt, and we're supposed to mention leaving Egypt at night. Amar Blaz ben Azari, Blaz ben Azari gave us some history to this. Ariani kiven shivim shana. I'm like a 70-year-old. V'lozachisin. I didn't merit to prove that they should mention the third section of Shema at night too. I should drush a ben zoma to a ben zoma. Prove it to the other sages from a verse. Shanaimah, the verse says, "Laman tizkres yom tizchem yom tizchem kol yemei chayachas." So that you'll remember the day that you left Egypt, all the days of your life. It could have just said yemei chayachas, the days of your life. That would have meant a yom days. The fact that it said kol yemei chayachas, all the days of your life, is to include the leilos, to include the nights. Chacham and chacham say no, yemei chayachas, the days olam hazeh. That just means that in this world you mention kol all the days of life of the Moshiach Mashiach. And when the Mashiach is going to come, you're also going to mention it. Says the Gemara Brisa, Tanu Lidin Brisa, Amalem Ben Zom Lachacham, Ben Zom said to the sages, V'chim Haskin Yitzias Mitzrayim L'mas Mashiach, are we even going to mention leaving Egypt in Mashiach's times? I look for him, and the verse says, Yina Yom Ben Nuh Mashem, Lo Yomar Od Chai Hashem 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 Hashem. Days are coming, says God. They're not going to say anymore, "Bless, live God who took the Jews out of Egypt." But rather, thank God who's taken the Jews from all the northern countries and brought them back to the land. Amalem, they said to him, no. That verse doesn't mean to say that we won't mention leaving Egypt at all. The main thing we'll mention is that God took us out on the final redemption. And secondarily, we will mention that God took us out of Egypt. Similarly, we have with Yaakov and Yisrael. Hashem says, your name was not going to be called Yaakov. Rather, Yisrael. Not that Yaakov is uprooted. El Yisrael Ikar, Yaakov Tafelo. Yisrael is the main name. Yaakov becomes the secondary name. Just to share a wonderful thought that I saw in the Haggadah of Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. During the Gulf War, he came to Israel with a group from England. And when he arrived there, he saw that there were planes of Olim from Russia. There were rockets coming to Israel, and there were planes of Olim. He said, "Listen, when we left Egypt, God said he doesn't want to take the Jews, Derech Eretz Plishtim, because when they'll see the war, they might turn back to go back to Egypt. And here at the time of the third redemption, there were rockets, and the Jews are still coming to the land of Israel." That's why the third redemption will be primary and leaving Egypt secondary.